You're in the home 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dopp with you here on Monday, November 9th as we recap all but one game from Week 9 of the NFL season with the Patriots and Jets to be played tonight, of course, on ESPN because I, like Matthew Berry, am a company man.
Oh, that's a Lisa thing. The iPad's not working today.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, but all right, let Matthew come in. What wanted to say something.
I was just going to ask you, like, every game, but of course, tonight's game between the Patriots and Jets. Would you call what happened on Sunday night a game?
Oh, no, it was a bye week for the Bucs.
Okay, that's no.
Strategic. Load management.
Yes. Load management. Yeah.
I got a thought.
I would say all the games plus the preseason scrimmage we saw on Sunday night.
Yes, correct.
And then we've got the game tonight. Jets Patriots on ESPN and the ESPN app. I'm a company man.
Da-da-da. Nobody cares.
Da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da. Oh,
okay.
Hey, Lisa did it.
That was
there
great.
You go.
Thank
of course,
you, Lisa.
Lisa did it.
Of course, yeah.
Lisa
what
is good.
Of course.
Lisa is good. You
what?
Are hairy.
That is accurate.
No, but you know what? Daniel
what?
Is,
what is
some
Daniel?
Sort of blend of Dave Grohl and Zach Brown right now. And I mean that in the highest of regards.
I do like my chicken fried.
What did Dave Grohl or Zach Brown ever do to you?
No, I mean, obviously,
we like
two of
them
the
too.
I love Zach Brown band.
Of course.
If you don't love the Foo Fighters, then you can just stop listening to the podcast right now.
Yeah, Field.
Thank you, Daniel. You ever heard of them?
You've heard of the Foo Fighters, right?
Oh, like yeah. They're not a crappy band you've never heard of.
Yeah,
they are.
They're a band you have heard of.
You're not hip to the times. Sometimes.
No, I understand. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm not the biggest Foo Fighters guy either, but right. I'm familiar with them, obviously.
Yeah.
You have to believe in what they've accomplished. You have to be, admire what they've accomplished.
But what I was going to say is that, so Daniel's hair is becoming a little bit Dave Grohl-like. It's growing very long.
Yeah,
Zach Brown is a little rounder than Daniel, but he has a big beard like Daniel does
yeah.
as well.
I
so think you're sort of the in-between.
I think his hair looks like Paul Rudd in the Look at Us. Who would have thought GIF?
Of course, yeah.
Let me ask you
that's what I feel like
question
he looks like.
To Stefania.
Just the hair.
Stefania,
the
anytime
hair.
That you are compared to either Dave Grohl or Zach Brown or Paul Rudd, do you just feel like you might as well shut it down for the day?
Right, it's not going to get any
it's
better.
It's not going to get any better
By
than that.
By the way, Dave Grohl, very timely reference after the amazing performance on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
my gosh.
And Matthew, shame on you if you are dismissing Dave Grohl.
Yes. Thank you.
I did the exact opposite.
No,
Stefania.
You're like,
I did not
no,
dismiss.
They're not a
Stop
crappy
it.
Band
Absolutely
you've
not.
Ever heard
I did
of.
Not.
That's
no, no, no,
not
no, no.
the same as giving
Field
him
said,
his due for
no,
being
stop.
One of the most talented musicians
Correct.
Of our
yeah.
generation.
No. This is outrageous. Replay this tape. Field Minister Yates was just like, I'm not a big Foo Fighters fan. And I said,
no, no, no. I said
and then he goes, and then you said,
wow.
No.
Wow.
That's exactly what he said. He said he's a Zach Brown guy, but he's not the biggest Foo Fighters fan.
Sure.
Then he asked me if I'd heard of Foo Fighters, and of course I've heard of Foo Fighters.
So Matthew
and I actually said, why are you insulting Dave Grohl and Zach Brown by comparing them to stupid squirrel over there?
Matthew has now lost his hair, three quarters yes! of fantasy matchups yesterday, and also his hearing, apparently.
So, I love it. So much
music. With the show?
That's all I wanted was just
Let's
music.
Let's just get to football. There's a lot of big news here, including Christian McCaffrey.
Wow, we'll get to Christian McCaffrey
right.
in
we
just a
minute. We got to get
through
a lot of
stuff. We
have to get
to our injuries
right.
first, though. Injuries that we have
trying
a bit
to keep
more
the show
clarity
on. Track,
on.
Daniel. I'm the
always,
only one.
Matthew.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnny on the spot. Stefania, let's begin with David Johnson, who left the game very early for the Texans yesterday and did not return.
Two carries. 16 yards. Anyone who has him on their fantasy team is aware that he left early. Unfortunately, a head injury, a concussion, was not allowed to return to the game, and so we follow him this week.
Okay, we will see obviously more of Duke Johnson if David Johnson is out this week. Duke Johnson ended up handling 20 touches yesterday, 16 carries for 41 rushing yards and a touchdown, plus four catches. They are razor thin at running back. Duke Johnson is a priority waiver add for this week. We'll get into more of the Texans' backfield. I think they probably have to make some roster moves there if David Johnson's likely to be out
sure.
in Week 10. But for now, Duke Johnson, the lead man in the backfield. And David Montgomery also left yesterday's game, Stefania. But this one was very late in the game, so a little bit less clarity here.
Right, exactly. But also head injury. You know, this is we always talk about how vulnerable running backs are, and this is one of the things when they get tackled. We saw it quite a bit yesterday. But David Montgomery left with a reported head injury, and he, too, could be in the concussion protocol this week.
So, Matthew, if he sits out in Week 10, and we're a long ways away from gameplay next Sunday, but how on earth would you size up the Bears backfield? Because I obviously write the waiver wire column every week here at ESPN, and I had to pick somebody. I felt like it was a responsible thing to do.
Right.
No, I understand. You're asking me to do your job for you. That's fine. That's fine.
I've been carrying you for eight seasons. I might as well let you have a little bit of a shine.
Yeah, exactly. It's my pleasure. I'm happy to do it for you. I'm happy to tell you who you should put in.
Right.
My expectation is that if David Montgomery were to miss time, it would be a timeshare. I think you'd see a lot more Cordero Patterson, and I think you'd see some Ryan Nall. They have a guy on the practice squad that's spent a little bit of time with it. I want to say Artavis Pierce. You know, he would be activated, I think, and put on the squad. Oh, and they have Lamar Miller. I forgot they have Lamar Miller.
That's the ghost card.
Of Lamar Miller. I would think Cordero Patterson.
He is the waiver wire call.
He would be the guy that I would put in there, and I do think in deeper leagues, Ryan Nall, Nall, would be a guy to put on your radar. Yeah, he had a few catches and. You know, they've used him some of the, you know, in the early going.
Fun to think about the possibility of Cordero Patterson actually getting a shot to be a full-time running back. You know, he's been so X-factor throughout his career, but I'll just tell you this. Defenders do not like to play against Cordero Patterson because he's super shifty in the open field. He's very fast, and he's more powerful than you realize.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, big
like,
dude.
He is...
He's 6'2", isn't he?
I mean, like, he's a monster guy. Like we have some fun about this because there was one year where I was all in on Cordero Patterson. His second year, he had an electric rookie year.
Yeah.
And it was looking like he was lined up for a much bigger role with the Vikings in year two as a wide receiver. And when you watched him his rookie year, you look at this guy that was like 6'2" and built, and yet fast as a gazelle. Like, this guy was like a video game. Like, he literally popped off the screen like a video game. He was so unbelievably, to your point, shifty and fast and powerful. And you were like, oh, my God. And so I was all in on Cordero Patterson one year. And then it just didn't work out for the Vikings or Patterson. But he sort of remade himself into a special teams guy, into a hybrid running back receiver. They use him sort of in the Tariq Cohen role now. For the Chicago Bears.
A little bit.
He's a very talented guy who seems to have found his way in the NFL. And look, David Montgomery, the volume has been insane. It's just he's been really ineffective. So I am with you. If all of a sudden, if Montgomery's injury were more serious than we realize at the moment as of this taping, and you could tell me Cordero Patterson's getting 15 touches on Sunday, that would be very interesting to me.
By the way, you're giving yourself a hard time for the one call you've missed in like 10
years. I know. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. People forget that every once in a while I do miss.
Right.
I do swing and miss. So I like to just keep it humble, keep it real,
Steph
keep it 100.
Steph Curry missed a free throw once last season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, America, you understand, right? You know, like, right. I'm keeping it real. Keep it at 100.
Yes. Noah Fant left the game yesterday as well. Stefania, what do we know on the Broncos?
I'll tell you what we know. It was not Fant. Fantastic.
Wow. Well done by you.
Yeah, it's so original. You know, it looked like he was in for, I'm not going to use the description, but a good game because he had a nice catch, 32-yard reception on the opening drive, but then he limped off the field. He did return. I think he was out a series or so and then was able to return, but we didn't really see him tested that much. They didn't throw to their tight ends again until late in the game. This is one where I expect he'll be limited in practice early in the week. We'll wait and hear what Vic Fangio has to say when he talks to the media later today. It's always encouraging when they're able to return, especially that early in the game. He did finish it out, but it doesn't mean that there's not an injury there that could become worse, you know, the day after the game.
And Albert O, his backup, also left the game early yesterday.
He's expected to get an MRI today.
Okay. So if you're looking for the next man up in the Broncos tight end room, I actually think Troy Fumagalli recently visited them. He was with the team and then cut. Jake Butt's on IR, so you're probably going to have to find a tight end option outside of Denver if you're going to have to replace Noah Fant.
You don't like Albert O?
We just said he's hurt and he left yesterday.
Fair enough. I got a text from. Sorry. Okay. I honestly did not hear that. I'm being honest. My wife is texting me and like sorry.
Yeah.
Like sorry, dealing with home stuff. Anyway.
Oh, good. Matthew Stafford, Stefania.
I'm owning it. I mean, you know, it is what it is. What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
My wife refuses to learn my schedule. It is what it is.
Yeah, it happens.
You want to know what it was about too? By the way.
Not really. Let's keep
all right,
on going.
All right.
Let's keep
Matthew Stafford, Stefania played in yesterday's game, and then he left yesterday's game for the Lions. This one also happened late.
Yeah, very late. We did hear after the game, I believe, that he was ultimately cleared of a concussion. Easy for me to say. We saw him leaving and going to the blue medical tent, but he was cleared.
Okay, so that's positive news. Obviously, a tough day for the Lions yesterday. A good spot for Matthew Stafford. And let me just say this. I'm not so sure that Vikings defense is quite the Swiss cheese that we thought it was earlier on this season. They've played much better recently. And we'll talk about Dalvin Cook because he might be a starter next week. Stefania?
Can I talk real quickly about that game just for 10 seconds, which
sure,
is number one, time of possession was out of whack because Dalvin Cook was so unbelievably amazing. Also, remember that Matthew Stafford came into that whole week having done his week rehearsals like over Zoom. Like, again, he was quarantined from the team. Like, he got cleared from the COVID-19 list like Sunday morning. And so, it was a weird game. He doesn't have Kenny Golladay. His numbers are obviously, Stafford's numbers traditionally have always been down when he doesn't have Golladay in the lineup there. So I mean, I think there's a lot to take away from that game, and we'll see if we get Kenny Golladay back this week for Matthew Stafford. But, you know, it was just sort of a weird game. I wouldn't read too much into it long term. I think
the hard part is just that you're not frequently starting Matthew Stafford.
Correct.
You're picking these spots, and when he fails you in one of those spots, from a fantasy perspective, hard to go back to the well later.
Yes, it is frustrating and disappointing.
Can I tell you that I am just not as in on Marvin Jones as I had hoped that I would be at this point? Because even this game, when we thought without Kenny Golladay, we thought he was going to have a lot of action. He
scored.
It was Danny. He did score, yes. But it was Danny Amendola, and it was TJ Hockenson that I feel like have continued to be more of the guys than Marvin Jones. He just looks out of sync and not like the guy that we saw be a top 20 wide receiver last year.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, for this particular game, the middle of the field is obviously where they were comfortable, where they thought they had the mismatch. And,
yep.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, Hockenson and Amendola. So.
And that is where the Vikings had the mismatch, up the middle with Dalvin Cook every single time.
Putting this out there right now, really, really, really bad week on the waiver wire this week, but Danny Amendola will make the list. Stefania, Kyle Allen left the game yesterday.
Pretty much think that was redundant. I'm just saying, I think those two phrases, I think you only needed one of those two sentences. I think they both said the same thing.
Stefania, we did see Kyle Allen leave the game yesterday for Washington. It looked bad the minute it happened.
It did. It was a strange injury. You know, Jabril Peppers was going after Kyle Allen and just caught his leg in like a whip, and it forced his leg into this quick external rotation. Usually when you see those, these are rotational injuries. And if you think about a quarterback for Washington who suffered a severe rotational lower leg injury recently, it's just very eerie that it happens again on FedEx Field. This does not appear to be as severe. There's no report of it being an open injury, and it sounds like Kyle Allen is headed for surgery, but this will likely end his season. And obviously, Alex Smith came out and took his place, and Alex Smith has already been named the starter for next week. I will tell you this, one of the first people over to check on Kyle Allen was Alex Smith, and you have to imagine for him in that moment, seeing Kyle Allen go down with a lower leg injury. It was just very emotional for him, and he talked about that afterward. Sure. It'll be interesting to see what Alex Smith can do with actually a week of practice with the first team, something he has not had yet.
And so we know it'll be week 9 for Alex Smith, and you know, I would think, and this is just instincts here, that it's probably going to be Alex Smith going forward. I don't know this for a fact, but I think Dwayne Haskins is basically a lost cause in Washington.
I would agree with that.
So it's Detroit this upcoming week.
I mean, Haskins will be the backup to Alex Smith, but it's, you think about this franchise for a second, you think about Joe Theismann, you think about Alex Smith, and now you think about Kyle Allen, and it doesn't sound like Kyle Allen's injury is as serious as what happened to Theismann or Alex Smith, but still, it's just, you know, how snake bit can one franchise be?
Yeah,
I've always liked Kyle Allen. You know, he's a Texas kid. He played at Texas A&M, where I grew up, and obviously where my father still teaches. And so I've always liked Kyle Allen as a quarterback and as a person. And so wishing him the best. I will say that Alex Smith suddenly becomes an interesting streamer. To Stefania's point, he hasn't had a ton of time with the ones, right? He came into the year as the third string quarterback. So getting a full year, and look at his upcoming schedule here.
Yeah.
Lions, Bengals, Cowboys are the next three. I do think Alex Smith, listen, it's not always going to be pretty. It's going to be a lot of dink and dunk, but I do think he's a viable QB2 streamer.
I think one thing, and I don't want to derail the conversation too much, but we're learning this more and more, especially in fantasy. The value of a quarterback who can actually, you know, pile up points with his legs makes it really tough to make an Alex Smith type streaming call because, you know, obviously he's been through a lot. Not like he's going to be the most fleet of foot player out there. So you're right.
He might be. But I mean, like, he ain't going to be Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or somebody like that. But like, this is a guy that prior to the injury was actually a very mobile quarterback.
I know, but this was gruesome of an injury as you could possibly have to your leg. That's my point. My point is, we'll talk about it later on in the week when we discuss quarterback streaming options, because Patrick Mahomes, amongst other quarterbacks, will be on their bye in week 10. One more injury before we get to, well, potentially.
I'm just going to say this. Don't dog Alex Smith when you're sitting here putting Danny Amendola on your waiver wire column. If we're down in the Danny Amendola range, we're allowed to talk Alex Smith. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, Secret Squirrel. Can you make a ruling there?
That's fair enough.
Right?
I will allow that. And a quarterback, I mean, I don't know when you're going to start him, at least, you know, but listen, he's at least.
It's a deeper league. It's a two-quarterback league. Sure. It's a super flex option, that kind of thing. Yeah, listen, he's not a 10-team, one-quarterback league option. I get it.
Okay. Fair enough.
I get it. But listen, if we're in the Danny Amendola range. By the way, in baseball, there's this thing called the Mendoza line.
Yes, I'm aware of it.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of, for people that aren't huge, there's a thing called Mendoza line. Mario Mendoza was an old-time hitter that averaged, I want to say, .213 for his career. And so there was I forget the baseball player that came up with the quote. It might have been George Brett. But basically said he always looked for the Mendoza line, like, because they always would print the batting averages in the newspaper.
Right.
And so he would just like, and that was sort of the cutoff. Like, you know, if anyone had a batting average basically below Mario Mendoza, they would never, they wouldn't make the newspaper. So I think it was George Brett. I could be dead wrong about that. I'm sure Thirsty Cow will correct me. But anyway, it was always just like, I look for the Mendoza line.
Yeah.
So I think we should have like an Amendola line. Like, you know what I mean? Amendola, like, for waivers. Like, right? Just
good.
Like, a, you know, that's
good.
Because Danny Amendola's been on waivers, like, you know, in the waiver column. Like,
yes.
He's like the new Muhammad Sanu.
Frequent appearance.
Right.
On him and Corey Davis, they just live on the waiver.
Right.
Live there.
But like, for years, Muhammad Sanu was that guy.
Oh, my God.
He was always this sort of borderline. You know what I mean?
My phone, like, autocorrects. I type in the M and it's like, Mohamed Sanu, I've typed it so many times. Stefania.
Anyway.
Not quite there yet with Preston Williams, who has been on the waiver wire column a decent amount, but he won't be this week as he's now banged up.
No, and you know, it's unfortunate because I really thought that he had a chance to have a strong second half of the season, obviously coming off the ACL reconstruction from last year. And he started out looking like he was going to have a really big game. Apparently he and Tua have a great relationship, but then carted off in the second quarter with a foot injury. No fractures reported initially, but as we have seen, these foot injuries can be nuanced, and you can discover a lot in the further testing, and certainly didn't look good when it happened.
All right, so the Dolphins, by the way, traded Isaiah Ford this past week to the Patriots. Not that he was like, you know, a game changer for them, but he probably would have been the wide receiver we'd be talking about today if we were to suggest another wide receiver besides Devontae Parker. I think Jakeem Grant, if you're going to maybe look towards a Dolphins wide receiver, but the way that they're winning right now is defense.
Right.
They're spreading it all over the field.
They are.
Third string tight ends are getting action right now.
Yeah, you're seeing like Adam Shaheen and what's the first name of the guy? Smythe. Andrew Smythe?
I think it's Andrew Smythe. Patrick Smythe works for the Broncos.
Patrick Smythe works for the Broncos. That's right.
He's an excellent job.
I knew I had a Patrick Smythe. I have a Patrick Smythe in my phone. And
he's awesome. Right. Shout out Patrick Smythe. Absolutely.
Shout out to Patrick Smythe. Does a great job for Denver, has for years. But yeah, I mean, like, it is. It is all over the place. Like, and remember, Devontae Parker was shadowed by Patrick Peterson yesterday. Like, you expect they're going to move him around. You know, maybe Mike Gesicki starts getting more involved here. You know, it's been a tough row there for him a little bit. I would agree with you. Real quickly, Isaiah Ford's a nice little player. I actually think he has some deep league value once he gets integrated into the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
they got no one there.
Oh, I'm aware. They called me last week to play wide receiver, so I respectfully declined. Maybe we'll see. I mean, he probably should be eligible for them starting next week when they play the Ravens. So keep an eye on Isaiah
Ford. I'm just saying, you can mark this down. I think Isaiah Ford's a nice little player, and I do think there's a potential for some value in New England given the dearth of other options they have.
So I had a tweet yesterday before the 4 p.m. games actually were played, and I wanted to get it out before the 4 p.m. games were played because I figured Christian McCaffrey would slide down the list after this. I said, hey, Christian McCaffrey has played in just 3 of 9 games this year. He's still RB25 on the season. He's missed 6 games, RB25.
Right, yeah.
Well, after the 4 o'clock and the 8 o'clock games, he moved all the way down to RB26 for the season. Think about that. Think about that.
Right.
This Christian McCaffrey has missed six games and he's RB26 on the season. A marvelous
performance. In total points.
And just a ridiculous performance yesterday. 37.1 fantasy points. Basically a full-time player. And I don't want to not talk about the brilliance of Christian McCaffrey because we could do the entire show on that, Stefania. But I also don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I'm afraid I might have to be, as late in the game, Christian McCaffrey did get banged up.
If you were watching the game, as I was, you saw it and you're like, no, no, he's been out so long. But he clearly was uncomfortable, was reaching up in the collarbone area, up under his shoulder pads. They looked at it. He went back in the game. I think he got them a first down, a critical first down late, but he had to extend his arm to do it. And then he came off and he was clearly uncomfortable. They appeared to be evaluating shoulder, collarbone, rib area. There are some reports out there floating around right now. We're waiting for confirmation on our end, but apparently this could potentially cost him more time. We wait and see.
Which is awful.
I'm done. I don't want to do the rest of the show anymore.
It's awful. It's interesting. There were some reports out there elsewhere prior to the game that there was going to be a split, in essence, between Christian McCaffrey and Mike Davis. 18-1 was the carry difference between McCaffrey got 18 carries, Mike Davis got one. A little closer in receptions, split, 10-5.
Did they split the pregame meal?
I don't know where the report on splitting came from, but it ended up being incorrect, that report. But we did say, I will say this, we did say last week, we talked about this on the show all week, if you have Mike Davis, do not get rid of Mike Davis. What is his rostership percentage?
I'm proud of the people because...
Did they listen to us?
Sort of.
Okay.
71.3%.
Okay.
I thought it would be like 37. I really did. I thought that it would just, I was like, oh, I have my lead for the waiver wire column because, as I mentioned, it's pretty slim pickings this week. Now, Mike Davis is available in about 30% of leagues. So take a look. As we know, I mean, it's not like it's a mystery as to who will be the guy if Christian McCaffrey can't play next week. And they play against the Buccaneers, who the last time these two teams played was the first time that Christian McCaffrey got hurt. And Mike Davis in that game ended up with 7 catches. So, once again, plan for Mike Davis potentially having to start this week. But Christian McCaffrey, it was so good to have you back,
even if
short-lived.
Really was. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that. And you see maybe a little bit more Curtis Samuel, who, by the way, another good game, third straight game. Curtis Samuel having a big fantasy day.
I'll make the waiver wire column as well. I have an announcement to make,
I
think it's important. The Saints social media team, and I want everybody to hear this loud and clear, is one of the top two in the NFL, and an 8-2.
Wow.
Let me just put that out there. Because after last night's Alabama playing directional state type beatdown over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. The Saints went wild into the wee hours of the night on Twitter. It was hilarious. Go check their content. Bravo to you, Saints social media team. If you're not following the Saints, I don't care if you don't like them. They're fun. Just go follow them. And Michael Thomas returned last night.
Can I do that now?
Yeah, worth your time.
Sure.
Michael Thomas returned last night. 5 catches for 51 yards. He had 6 targets. So, not much, but he had 17 receiving yards going into the game. Stefania, I just would be curious, in watching him last night, did you sense any sort of limitations for a guy that's missed, 7 straight games? Of course, one of those was due to team punishment, but still, he's been banged up.
No, I really didn't. I didn't see anything. You know, we didn't see things that you might have been looking for, you know, a really big, deep play where he had to make a move or get particularly physical, but I think they were just spreading the ball around so much that was all part of the equation. But he looked fine to me.
Everybody feasted last night. Daniel, what do you got?
So I want to quickly talk about Tampa Bay on the other side, because I know we're going to talk about Antonio Brown here in a minute, but Mike Clay put out a tweet that I'd love to have us throw up on the screen, Lisa, if you have it for us.
This is so good.
So Mike Clay, or Mike Evans, last 3 receiving lines field. Can you see that a little bit easier?
His last 3 receiving lines against Marshawn Lattimore in coverage, including tonight, so last night's game. 2 targets, 0 catches. 2 targets, 0 catches. 2 targets, 0 catches. That's a bagel. That's a donut. Marshawn Lattimore, by the way,
retweeted
took the Twitter.
That.
He quote tweeted it, which was great. And he wished Mike Evans, not Mike Clay, better luck next year. This is some of that Saints social media that I was talking about. This is the players,
right.
But the whole account, everybody was going crazy. Jameis was eating W's. It was awesome. But you know what?
Listen, when you walk the walk, you get to talk the talk. It is what it is. The one thing I will say is just to defend Mike Evans a little bit. The first game against Marshawn Lattimore this year, he was banged up that entire week. Remember, he was a game time decision. We didn't think he was actually going to play. He had the hamstring injury. He was a surprise active.
But
I'm just going to. I know. But no, listen, Marshawn Lattimore is a really great player. He's a great player. He's always had.
He's been inconsistent this year. It seems like he's one of those players that, like, when a championship
raises the
fight.
Raises of the competition, yeah.
All right, so Antonio Brown, Daniel said we wanted to get right there on him, and we will, but I think it actually, it does sort of spawn another question, in my opinion.
Well, should we get to the Saints first? Should we talk about how brilliant Drew Brees was and spreading the ball, and is there any...
Phenomenal. I mean, honestly, no.
They just had their way with him. I don't think there's any fantasy value beyond, like...
It's the same guys.
I know Traquan Smith, like, whatever. It's Michael Thomas, Manuel Sanders in a slightly deeper league. Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray's your hand, you know, your insurance.
Right.
You know.
By the way, Alvin Kamara, bad last night, and he had 15.9 fantasy points.
He just fell into 15 fantasy points.
I love that man.
Get used that much.
With my whole heart. Antonio Brown had three catches for 6.1 fantasy points, so 31 receiving yards last night. He played 39 snaps. He was on the field early. It was not like last year where in the opening drive, Tom Brady clearly was locked in on Antonio Brown. There was it was a little bit of a slower pace to start here for Antonio Brown, but it's one more mouth to feed, and he finishes with 3 for 31 on a bad, bad night. I mean, obviously, Tom Brady was brutal. 209 passing yards, 3 interceptions last night. Just terrible, terrible last night. Chris Godwin, 3 for 41. Mike Evans, 4 for 64. We're halfway through the season right now, Matthew.
Right.
The Bucs have clearly and unquestionably upgraded their quarterback. Tom Brady is the GOAT. He will, until someone gets at least 6, Tom Brady's my GOAT, and I will not be,
I will not be dissuaded from that.
He's my GOAT. From a fantasy football impact, Jameis Winston was way more fun for the rest of the Bucs offense. I mean, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Like last year.
Yeah, yeah.
It was way more fun to use Chris Godwin and Mike Evans last year. Like, really, all Bucs players, is that weird? Is that bad?
Not bad. I mean, they had a much more narrow sort of target tree, right? I mean, like, you know, Jameis was sort of locked in on two guys. Like, they didn't really have Scotty Miller last year. OJ Howard was inconsistent. They didn't have Gronk last year.
I don't know.
They were throwing, probably not throwing a lot more, but they were down more. So they were like, they probably, without looking at the pace of play stats, my guess is their pace of play was probably quicker last year.
Probably, yeah.
They didn't have a run game last year. They do this year. Like, there's a lot of differences. Yes.
It was more fun with those wide receivers.
Yeah.
Real quick. Like, I've always felt like Tom Brady has had a guy, right? There's always been the guy. It's Julian Edelman. It's Gronk. It's somebody. Who's his guy here in Tampa after 9 games into the season? I don't feel like there's been one that's clearly established as the de facto number one or his safety valve or any of those.
Well, he hasn't had, I mean, every week it's a different group. Like, oh, do I have Chris Godwin this week? Great. Oh, wait, I don't have Mike Evans this week? Oh, wait, you know, like.
But those it's are been, still superstars.
It's been, I know. But I'm just saying, he hasn't had the same group of guys, the same main guys week in, week out. I was encouraged by Antonio Brown last night.
Yeah,
you may think I'm crazy.
No, I thought it was fine.
But, I mean, like, in a game in which everything that could have gone wrong for the Buccaneers did, and he looked awful, and the protection broke down, in Antonio Brown's first game, he got 5 targets. Evans and Godwin got 6. Like, he was used almost as much as those 3 guys. They took a deep shot to him, and if he comes down with that ball, Brady underthrew it a little bit, felt like, but if he hits Brown in style, you know, in stride, number one, I think that game goes differently. But number two is, like, Antonio Brown's off to the races, or if nothing else, has like a 60-yard reception. And I think we're talking about him a lot differently this morning.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, I wasn't discouraged.
Yeah.
I was, my observation was more specific to Godwin and Evans. Like,
yeah.
It was more fun.
100%. Look, coming into this game before Antonio Brown got there, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were barely top 30 fantasy wide receivers. And these are 2 guys that went in among the top 7 of wide receivers. Yeah. And the weird part is it's not that they're suddenly untalented, because they're not.
No, of course not.
And it's not like they've gotten bad quarterback play, because prior to last night, Tom Brady's been amazing this year.
He's been amazing. Yeah. Anyways, we digress.
It's just, yeah.
Anyway. Hey, on Saturday,
welcome to fantasy football.
That Dez Bryant had been elevated to the active roster from the practice squad just for a game.
I tweeted this last night. I'm going to, real quick, I just want to say this real quick. This was shocking to me.
How long is
this
real quick?
This is probably, I don't know, 10 minutes. Give me just 10 minutes.
Okay, all right.
All right, give me like just 10, maybe 15 minutes. Okay. But coming into that game,
right.
Tom Brady, last 6 games, 17 touchdowns, just 1 interception. He was averaging over 23 fantasy points per game.
Okay.
going into that game, the Saints had allowed touchdown passes at the highest rate in the NFL. They'd given up multiple touchdown passes in every single game this year.
Okay.
And six of the seven quarterbacks to face the Saints this year had at least 19 fantasy points. The only one that didn't was Nick Foles.
Mm.
And now Tom Brady. I mean, like, that whole game.
I figured it out.
Was shocking.
No, I get it. So when the Saints are facing a quarterback who hasn't been the Super Bowl MVP before, you start him. When they're facing a former Super Bowl MVP,
that's right.
You Foles. Sit him. Yeah, the Saints Foles play the 49ers on Sunday. To my knowledge, Nick Mullins has not won a Super Bowl MVP. Nick Mullins, top 10 quarterback in Week 10.
Probably. Hey,
on Saturday, I put some news that Dez Bryant had been promoted to the active roster. We call it an elevation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the one game of Week 9, Matthew Berry at one point tweeted that Dez Bryant had no fantasy value.
Correct.
And people got all up in his menchies and got a little bit frisky, got a little mad at Matty B. They said, pfft. Dez Bryant, OG of fantasy. We're talking about no fantasy. I already picked him up in three leagues last week.
Did people really say, like, I don't read my mentions anymore? Like, did people really react to that tweet
little,
that way?
Were
people like,
I got a little mad.
Okay.
I
don't read my mentions anymore. Right, yeah. So, like, I didn't know. Oh, wow. I did not
of
know.
All the calls to get mad about of
really?
Yours, that
I'm
is
like,
not
I'm surprised
the one.
That one, like, anyone has any shock at that.
That's loyal to the X, right?
So yeah. Anyways, okay.
So,
insanity.
Dez Bryant yesterday, though, proved them all right. Oh, wait, no, he didn't. He had two snaps. He ran one route. He had zero fantasy points. He was a ghost. It's a cool story. I'm excited for Dez Bryant. And what was really cool was his perspective after the game is that he said, I'm grateful. I got to be part of a team that's now 6-2 and got a big win over the very talented Indianapolis Colts defense. So that was cool. But Dez Bryant, until further notice, has zero fantasy value.
Correct. But, one of the things I did tweet is, like, I'm rooting for him. You know what I mean? Like, Yep. It's a great story.
It is a great story.
We're definitely rooting for him. But yeah, again, listen, Marquise Brown has no fantasy value at the moment. Like, what makes you think Dez Bryant's suddenly going to have? Like,
no, I don't talk about
like, if Mark Andrews didn't qualify at tight end, he'd have no fantasy value. Like, it's unbelievable.
It sure is. Hey, do you own or rent your home?
I do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want all the basics or the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help you protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks, smart lights, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are all connected to 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality that you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in home security. And get this, ADT expert installers average 10 plus years of experience. ADT wants you to be happy with your service. That's why they provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Pay now, protect later. Excuse me. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. Support our friends at ADT because they support us here at the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
They sure do, Jim. Not good at that. Why do I always wait?
Someday, man.
Figure it out.
Someday.
By 2025, I'll have it figured out. Hey, I've got a little something I have figured out, though. Dalvin Cook is really good at fantasy football. Really, really good, man.
You are not the best in the business for nothing.
I have often said that.
Yeah, 100%. I know we talk a lot about mediocre fantasy analysis, but when you say things like Dalvin Cook is really good at fantasy football, I mean, how's that not worth a 5-star review?
I don't know.
Could we get some 5-star reviews, please?
Sure,
I'm asking.
100%.
I would. Yeah, totally. I'll make a deal with America here.
Okay.
Make a deal with America.
Uh-oh.
Let's hear it.
If you go to iTunes or wherever you get your download and give us 5-star reviews, because it helps us. It helps us with advertisers. It helps us, you know, keep it free, the whole thing. If you do that for us.
Shirtless Matthew Berry
I promise America to never bring back the Matty Exotic voice.
Oh, I'm good with that.
Wow.
I'm good with that.
That was a very controversial.
Very controversial.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm
half the
ready
audience
to get some
loved it. Half the audience hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, but the people that hated it, like, truly hated
it. They did not enjoy it.
I'll take you one step further.
What's that?
If you over-deliver on the number of 5-star reviews, not only will we bring you episodes without Matty Exotic. We'll bring you episodes just without Matthew Berry.
100%.
There you go.
Is that a promise or is that a promise?
Come on.
Give us some check.
We're asking. Please give us some five-star reviews.
Value check on Dalvin Cook and running backs in general. We are not going to sit here and give you some sort of like hard-hitting analysis on Dalvin Cook other than the fact that he is incredible. He is arguably the fantasy MVP. He has been brilliant over the past couple of weeks. 206 rushing yards yesterday, 2 touchdowns. He had 2 catches for 46 yards. He had 4 touchdowns last week. I'm not so sure, and I before Christian McCaffrey, truthers, and everybody else gets all up my grill
and
about
your menchies.
One. My menchies. Dalvin Cook's playing like the best. He is playing the best of any running back in the NFL right now, along with Alvin Kamara.
Right. He's saying, like, you know what? This is why you guys paid me.
That's right.
Like, I feel like he's single-handedly keeping the Vikings afloat.
He sure is. He is so good. That's why, by the way, Dalvin Cook is our Geico good news of the day, because for the rest of the season, there is not a running back that I prefer to Dalvin Cook. There are a few that I prefer to Ezekiel Elliott, but he did play okay yesterday. He had 51 rushing yards, 2 catches, and 18 yards, 8.9 fantasy points. So really, I mean, he did not deliver to expectations. But I'm just saying, from a real football standpoint, I thought he was fine in a much more competitive game than most expected it to be.
He was better than you thought he would be. Tony Pollard had, you know, much more efficient numbers.
But Stefania, from Zeke's perspective on the health front, and we'll talk about Tony Pollard in just 1 second, did you think he checked out okay?
Yeah, I think he got a little better. I was watching him pretty closely. I think he got a little better as the game went on. He actually said that afterwards when talking to reporters, that he felt like it loosened more and more as the game went on. He would only say that he physically felt, you know, okay or all right, I think were his exact words. He did give credit to associate athletic trainer Britt Brown. I love it when the players recognize that somebody has worked with them to get them on the field, and he did give credit there, but clearly not 100%.
Yeah, he did not look 100% in terms of snap counts, obviously, and that's why Tony Pollard played a good amount, Matthew. And pretty solid day for Tony Pollard.
Yeah. He's a talented running back. Again, he's obviously a different guy than Ezekiel Elliott, but just watching them on the screen, like, he's a different gear than Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. Obviously, they're different players, and
some players are easier to play in a small dose, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, I think that Zeke sort of still teeters right there on like RB2 status.
Yeah, and what was exciting for me, I think, as somebody who has Zeke in a couple of leagues, is that, okay, so he got through the game, didn't suffer a setback. As Stefania says, got better as the game went on. Now they're going to go under their bye, so he's got 2 weeks to sort of get healthier.
Yeah.
And by the way, that offense, because hopefully Andy Dalton is back in 2 weeks. But if he's not, like, Garrett Gilbert played a good game.
It was okay.
I mean, like, he threw overhand. You understand how low the bar is in Dallas these days?
It is very
like
low.
He completed passes overhand. Like, come on, man. Like,
that was good.
I'm just saying, like, here's the thing. I thought Garrett Gilbert was a, and I mean this with no disrespect, I thought Garrett Gilbert was a professional NFL quarterback yesterday.
I thought it was okay. Yeah, I just think that.
Listen, that's a very tough defense.
Yes.
Against Pittsburgh. And they were in that game.
Right.
They were in that game.
All right. So I need to see a couple. So the big thing with Dak with Zeke right now is he doesn't score touchdowns anymore. He hasn't scored since
Neither
Dak
is Dallas.
Howard. That's the point, is that if Dallas is not going to score touchdowns, even with Andy Dalton, then we could be in a heap of trouble for Ezekiel Elliott.
You know, I will say, though, their schedule out of the bye, here's their next 4 weeks. Bye,
yep.
At Minnesota,
okay.
Home to Washington, at Baltimore. You obviously don't love the Ravens matchup, but the rest of them don't scare you.
I don't know if you love Minnesota that much anymore. They're a little tougher than...
They're a little tougher. So is Washington, I guess.
There you go.
You know, but whatever. Whatever. Zeke should be matchup agnostic. I agree with you. If we were redrafting today, he wouldn't be the top three player he was. But he is somebody that you're still drafting, you know, in the first two rounds.
Okay, so you say that, and I don't disagree with you there. However, we've gotten kind of to the point where, like, a guy like Lamar Jackson, we have said, maybe not necessarily matchup dependent, but is very much like not a must start.
He still gets 20 fantasy points.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
Zeke stinks and doesn't get 20 fantasy right. points.
That's
the
thing.
At least
but,
the,
you know, again, the problem is just that, again, if you go through running back, it's going to be really,
right.
really hard.
You're not
to
wrong.
20.
No, like, we talked about this before the show, and I don't know if we're supposed to get to this now, but I'm going to get to it now anyway. Okay, so here, as we head into Monday Night Football, Number one running back in fantasy was Dalvin Cook.
Correct.
Right? Number two running back was Christian McCaffrey.
Very good at football.
Also very good at football. The number three running back in fantasy this week was J.D. McKissick. 20 points worse than Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey. J.D. McKissick of my Washington professional football team. Like, J.D. That's where we're at. Like, yeah. I mean, Derrick Henry was bad. Jonathan Taylor was bad. Josh Jacobs. Like, all these guys, like...
You know who was four, Matthew?
Who's four?
Do you know?
Was
drum
it
roll.
Kalen Ballage?
Drum roll.
Was yes! it a Ballage? Yes! Are we checking into the Ballage Mahal?
Yeah, he's on the way to our call
me,
this week.
Are me and you going to have a Ballage à trois with Kalen? Come on now. That's
probably
right.
Not.
That's right. I went there. That's right. That's fine.
A little awkward. It on.
Let's keep things moving forward here. So Ezekiel Elliott's sort of disappointing. Josh Jacobs, though, not a whole lot better. Now, yesterday, Devontae Booker gave them 13 snaps, and Booker's got some juice now, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, he does.
A reasonable free agent signing by them this offseason. Jacobs has been fine this year. He's been fine.
Yep.
But he hasn't been great, and there were some expectations that he could be great this year. And under 14 fantasy points in three straight games in six of his past seven. I said this, was it last week on the podcast, that I was having trouble deciding whether Josh Jacobs was a great running back or just like a really solid running back. And I hope to eat crow on this. I think he's a really solid running back. I don't think he's a great running back.
Yeah, he might be better in a better system for him. But
I don't know. That's a headline that I'm scared of, by the way. So don't. I think he's a really solid running back. That's the headline.
Fair enough. Digital video team, please take note.
Duly noted.
He's a really solid running back. He's a little touchdown dependent. Fantasy-wise, that's the issue, is that he doesn't have enough passing game usage. He's a little game script and touchdown dependent. When they're trailing, he's not somebody that's out there a lot. When he doesn't score a touchdown, he's not getting you massive fantasy points. For where he was drafted, a little bit of a disappointment, but... But again, he's getting the volume, and he's not killing you in weeks in which there's a floor there. You know what it is? He's more of a floor running back than a ceiling running back.
Fair enough. I'd agree with that. Stefania, did you have something you wanted to add here on Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, just I'm not disagreeing with your assessment, but I think last week is a tough one to make a call on, or this past weekend, because I felt like that he was involved differently, and partially because he was not 100%. He had the knee and an illness that he was added to his name in the injury report late in the week, and he ended up touching the ball a lot less than he did in week 8, and Devontae Booker ends up touching the ball a few more times. I think he got 8 carries as opposed to, what was it, 14 for Josh Jacobs, who had 31 touches the week before. So that could have played a factor in it as well. He definitely wasn't 100%.
Fair enough. Okay. Jonathan Taylor.
Devontae Booker makes an interesting for deeper league guys too, by the way. Deeper league.
Yeah.
Interesting stash.
Let's rip through a bunch of backfields and go to Jonathan Taylor now for the Colts. Yesterday's usage amongst the Colts running backs. We had 22 for Nyheim Hines, snaps-wise. 22 for Jordan Wilkins, 20 for Jonathan Taylor. Fumbled again yesterday and basically got put into timeout after an early first quarter fumble. 2 touches for 6 yards the rest of the way on Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins had double-digit carries. Like, again, like, and, you know, whatever. Well, Jonathan Taylor got the touchdown. They gave him the 1 yard, you know, and he leaped over the end zone. But, yeah, after that fumble, once again, second week in a row, for one reason or the other, second half it was all Jordan Wilkins. Now, he didn't do much with it, but I think it's more about the lack of any consistency that you can count on from Jonathan Taylor.
The whole backfield.
It's a three-headed monster.
Yeah.
Is there an Indianapolis Colts player at all that you feel good about starting?
Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their defense.
And the defense. Yeah.
Right. That's what it is. Yeah, it's Rodrigo Blankenship and the defense. Like, the tight ends are a three-headed monster. You're not starting Phillip Rivers. None of it, like, I mean, Marcus Johnson. Michael Pittman had some nice moments yesterday. Maybe somebody to keep an eye on in super deep leagues. But really, no, there's not. In a 10 or 12 team league, there's not one Indianapolis Colt that isn't their kicker or the defense that you feel comfortable starting.
Crazy thought. And I'm not sure.
I do think Wilkins is a good pickup for deeper, deep leagues. Like, yeah, you know,
put him on the waiver wire, but
yeah, but
not that enthusiastically.
They play Tennessee on Thursday night, short week.
Seahawks lose to the Bills. Very impressive win for Buffalo. 44-34 is the final. DJ Dallas again has a pretty prominent role. 31 rushing yards, a touchdown, plus 2 catches for 8 yards. Travis Homer ended up playing 29 snaps because they were so far behind for basically the entirety of the game. Stefania, though, I think this conversation has a lot more context to it. Do we think Chris Carson or Carlos Hyde could be back as soon as this week?
We don't have much insight because neither of them has practiced. I mean, Carlos Hyde, Pete Carroll was pretty definitive about him early on, knowing that he would miss this week. So it sounds like he still has a ways to go. Chris Carson, it's really interesting. If you just want to look at the nuance, like the first week that he missed, which was the game against San Francisco, it was a game time decision. Then this past week, now obviously they traveled, so you had to declare earlier potentially because they were going to announce who was making the trip. But Chris Carson was ruled out much more quickly. I was looking ahead to see what they do next. They play at the Rams. You know, they have a synthetic surface in Seattle, so it's not necessarily about what type of surface they're on because it's synthetic at SoFi as well as at CenturyLink Field. But I think with these midfoot injuries, because they are so nuanced, it's going to be delicate. And we're probably going to be doing this waiting game and seeing how much he practices every single day going forward.
I'll just say, Matthew, quickly, even though Travis Homer played 9 more snaps than DJ Dallas, if you're starting one with Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde out, it's clearly DJ Dallas.
Yeah, more involved in the passing game. A lot of Travis Homer's production came very late on one drive. He was my long shot on Fantasy Football Now, and I've had this streak of having every long shot get double-digit fantasy points except for one.
Fuego, yeah.
And so I was nervous about Travis Homer, and then he got it on that last drive where it was just all him. Still counts. I wound up with 11 fantasy points, but I agree with you. DJ Dallas over Travis Homer because of the passing game usage, but certainly more of a committee than it was the week before.
A few more backfields to get to, but first, if you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball and summer. They're an essential pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations, big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark Buns and Rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark Buns and Rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of the year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a Ballpark Bun creation. So the next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop.
Do you ever feel like you're always on?
Mm-hmm.
These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. And if there's one thing that Maddie B has taught us, it's that nothing good comes from hustling.
Nothing.
Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues right now, and the expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for Coors Light, the only beer that's literally made to chill. Watching football is therapeutic to fans. It is that uninterrupted me time and an excuse to chill and drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink beer. It's a mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. That's the cold trifecta right there. It's literally made to chill and celebrate with responsibly. As crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the beer to choose when you need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. That's right, delivered straight to your door. Get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And please, don't forget to celebrate responsibly.
I did it!
You did it!
I did it! I waited until the slate.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Nice job.
A couple more running back backfields to get to. You are not impressed at all. Zach Moss,
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's right.
Not get off my lawn. It's just like, congratulations.
You did your job.
You did your job as a professional host. Well done.
Appreciate that.
Nice job.
Zach Moss, Devin Singletary yesterday. Neither one of them really had to run the football that much because the Bills took what was given to them, and that was throwing a ton yesterday. But we've established something, and I want to be quick here, Matthew. If you're playing one, it's Zach Moss because he's going to get the goal line work.
100%. Again, they decided to attack Seattle. They're like, we're going to just throw. We're going to throw every play. It was like, it was a weird, not a weird game plan, a successful game plan for Buffalo, but I don't know that it's indicative of what they're going to do going forward.
I just want to take 25, 30 seconds here and just appreciate James Robinson in a year in which it is incredibly difficult to find running backs. You've got James Robinson, who received a $30,000 guarantee as an undrafted free agent out of Illinois State to go play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is now on pace for 1,610 scrimmage yards. That's rushing plus receiving yards. No player as an undrafted free agent has ever had that many in NFL history. That would break the record by close to 130 yards. He has been remarkable. He's a locket in stardom every single week running back. And impressively yesterday, he got you 16 fantasy points with zero catches. We appreciate you, James Robinson. Thanks for all that you have done for all of us who play fantasy football this year.
Are you trading James Robinson? I just want to, here's who he plays in the playoffs starting in week 14. Mm-hmm. Plays the Titans. Then he's at Baltimore, home to Chicago, at Indianapolis in week 17, which is the final week on ESPN Standard Leagues. No. Are you trading James Robinson so high? Like, here's
what's he for the season, if you had to guess? What do you think he is?
Running back 5 or 6, something
four.
Like that?
Four. Okay. Running back 4.
Really?
Running back 4 is James Robinson.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, if someone wants to trade you, I don't know, and I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, but if, like, Christian McCaffrey is going to miss 3 weeks right now or something, and you're like, hey, listen, I my team is really good, so I can afford to acquire Christian McCaffrey or James Robinson, sure. Understanding I'm going to have to miss some period of time for Christian McCaffrey, but, like, how many running backs do you prefer to him?
Yeah, there's not a long list. Somebody offered you Devontae Adams for him? You'd take that, though, right?
Yeah, I'd probably take that, but, you know, Devontae Adams might be the best wide receiver in football. J.K.
Somebody
Dobbins?
Somebody offered you Tyreek Hill for him?
I'd take that, too.
Yeah.
It'd have to be
a pretty penny, but I'm just saying, just something to be aware of. He's got a tough schedule coming up in the fantasy playoffs, and if somebody is willing to pay you a king's ransom for him, mm-hmm. I think it's worth considering.
So J.K. Dobbins yesterday had another chance to be the starting running back for the Ravens. 30 rushing yards, 2 catches on 2 targets for 5 yards. Ugh. Now, it was a good defense they faced last week. Yesterday, I should say, specifically the Colts. They play the Patriots coming up and the Titans, not nearly as imposing of defensive opponents in the upcoming weeks. Mark Ingram could return in the upcoming weeks as well, Matthew. We're trying to make J.K. Dobbins happen, and maybe at some point we just need to concede it's not going to be what we had hoped for.
I have a larger question.
Okay.
This is sort of what we're talking about when we talk about the Colts.
Yeah.
Is there a member of the Baltimore Ravens that is a must start?
Yeah. Lamar Jackson's still a must start, I think, in a lot of cases.
Really?
Mark Andrews, too, at tight end position.
Probably Mark Andrews.
See, I don't think so. Ravens Listen, defense. I think more often than not, you're probably doing. I don't know that you probably have somebody that's better than Mark Andrews, so you probably do have to start him because tight end is such a wasteland. But, like, if I had Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson's no longer a must start. Like, I mean, like, if a lot of people drop Carson Wentz, now Carson Wentz is going to come off the bye, and he's got Jalen Reagor back, and we expect him to have Dallas Goedert back, and maybe has Alshon Jeffrey back, like in the right match. I'm just saying, like, more often than not, you're probably starting Lamar Jackson. More often than not, you're probably starting Mark Andrews. But there's not one guy on that team where you feel like, I don't need to look at the matchup. I don't need to look at any other options that I have. They're just a set it and forget it, no-brainer, the way that a Dalvin Cook is or a Devontae Adams is. Like, they just haven't been that guy.
I just mentioned earlier how, like, the Buccaneers are not nearly as fun this year.
Yeah.
Again, Tom Brady, my GOAT, unquestioned. Right. They're less fun this year in fantasy amongst the wide receivers. The Ravens as a whole are just not nearly as fun. I mean,
no.
They're not fun at all.
They aren't. Like, I can't believe people are getting mad at me about Dez Bryant. I'm going to have to go read the mentions of that one. Like, I mean, when, like, Marquise Brown is in a top 40 fantasy wide receiver.
Correct.
Do you, after watching Drew Brees get Michael Thomas back. Understanding Thomas struggled, but what he did. Would you start Drew Brees over Lamar Jackson?
Which I had yesterday in the war room.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's at least a conversation, and that's crazy. 1,000%.
Like, Field and I are playing each other in the war room league. He has Drew Brees and Lamar Jackson in that league. I have Derek Carr. I'm getting by with Derek Carr in that league.
Wow.
And by the way, but he started Lamar Jackson against me, and he should have started Drew Brees. Like, oh, that was the.
I've still got hope.
You're down 40. You have your kicker left to play. We'll see. We'll see what happens. See how it all plays out. I prefer my position to his going into there.
A few more here. Chase Edmonds for the Cardinals. Obviously, we had sort of a different take on how he'd perform for the rest of the season based on what we saw yesterday, Matthew, and what was supposed to be a good matchup. How are you feeling? I mean, I'm not trying to be like poke the bear here, but
no, I thought he was. It's a fair question.
I thought he was very, 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 very average yesterday.
I thought he was too. He was pedestrian. And you know, now you sort of think like, is it Kenyon Drake's fault? Maybe it's the offense. Maybe it's the offensive line. Maybe it's the play calling. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the fact that their best attack on the ground
is
Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was saying with, I think the same thing would show itself if Tony Pollard was in the Zeke role, is that it's easier to chunk up big yards when you're a flash in the pan player, they're getting you in space with, you know, whether it's jet sweeps, whether it's screens, whether it's opportunities to take advantage of what you do well. Whereas in Kenyon Drake, when sometimes the play is drawn up to, like, at best get you 6 yards, you might get 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So I still think Edmonds will be a top 15 to 20 ranked running back for me until Kenyon Drake returns. But just probably a reminder of why the Cardinals still see a lot of value in Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, but I will say the Dolphins are a really good defense.
But they were, apparently they weren't a good run defense up until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I get it. They have turned the corner or something like that. I mean,
Ryan Flores is the man.
What?
Ryan Flores is the man.
He's done an amazing job, and he should be. Listen, Mike Tomlin might be running away with it, but like other Coach of the Year candidates getting votes, Brian Flores needs to be in that conversation.
Major.
There's no question about that. He's done an amazing job, but you know the next four are for the Cardinals: Bills, Seahawks, Patriots, Rams. Not until you get to the Rams is there a run defense that you're scared about here. Look, I mean, and I think one of the reasons why Kyler Murray had such the game that he did, A, guys, just a special player. But beyond that also, it's like plays broke down, and so Kyler Murray had to just make something happen with his legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally. He was really
good. I mean, they shut down DeAndre Hopkins, too. Like, the Dolphins played a really good game yesterday. I know they gave up 31 points or whatever, but, like, Dolphins defense legit.
Let's bring things home with the Chiefs and then a quick Monday Night Football take. So, Clyde Edwards-Helaire yesterday, 12.4 fantasy points. He had 14 rushing yards, plus 3 catches for 20 yards. Played 25 snaps to Le'Veon Bell's 18, to Darrell Williams' 15. They scored 33 points yesterday. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is what he is. He is what he is. He's going to rank somewhere between 10 and 20 every week.
He's an RB2.
And Le'Veon Bell's washed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. I think, and I could be wrong, it's very early here, but
sure.
I think I fell into the Mohamed Sanu getting traded trap last year. And I think that's what we might be falling into with the Le'Veon Bell situation in Kansas City, because there were some who were more optimistic on it.
I was. I'll own that. I thought,
that's
hey, a guy.
Of, right? Like,
you I think, was just like, listen, 10 touches with Andy Reid is worth, you know, a lot more than 22 touches with Adam Gase.
Right.
And I was shocked at his lack of usage yesterday. Like,
why do you need him is the question. Like, you know, I'm not saying, why did you sign him? I'm saying, like, it's not like they're doing something wrong, play in and play out, that makes me think like, oh, the Chiefs would really be good if they actually got some more out of Le'Veon Bell. What they're doing is working.
I don't remember exactly where it was in the game, but there was a key late in the game. There was a key third down where they needed to convert. Carolina played them tough, and they were lucky to get out of there with a win, Kansas City. But there was a key third down, and the play call that they used was a designed screen pass to Darrell Williams, and I was just like,
he still a third down back.
Yeah. I mean, you know the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
And it fell short.
Yeah.
And they turned the ball over to Carolina. I'm just like, really? Yeah. With everything you've got?
You can't trade him, though. Like, or you can't dump him, though, right? Like, you can't start him.
Well, he's very valuable insurance to Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
But that's what he is. You can't drop him, but you can't play him either.
He is right now. Yeah. I think he is.
But and there may be a game or two here, but it's similar to LeSean McCoy, where we were just sort of, where we thought there'd be value just because, you know, he's the starting running back for Andy Reid, and then you're like, you know, or he's a running back for Andy Reid, and it's just, I'm with you, Field.
Quickly here on Monday Night Football, Jets-Patriots tonight. Stefania, biggest injury in this game is Jamison Crowder. Does he have a chance to go for the Jets?
He does have a chance to go. He didn't look like it until very late in the week, but Rich Cimini tells me that they were happy with how he looked in drills, and so it sounds like he does have a shot to play. He's not 100%, but moving better and doing more than they thought he'd be able to going into the weekend.
Okay. And by the way, I think both kickers might be questionable for tonight, so keep an eye on that. I don't think a lot of people were using Sam Ficken and Nick Folk, but if they were.
Which one are you using for the War Room League that needs 40 points?
Got the best chance at 40?
I'm probably, I don't know. I don't want to reveal my secret on the show. Damian Harris, though.
Yeah. I was just going to say, listed as questionable along with 16 of his teammates, but he is expected to play.
And I'd be very surprised if Sony Michel plays tonight for the Patriots, even though he is eligible to play. Matthew, Damian Harris has 2 games of over 100 rushing yards. We've been talking about this. This could be a pretty good spot for him to contribute tonight.
Yeah, look, he's a little bit game script dependent because he isn't involved in the passing game, and so he needs a game where the Patriots are either winning or, you know, close. And against the Jets, we expect that to be the case, especially
Joe Flacco under center for New York.
Let's bring things home here with trivia and one that has a little bit of a special tribute as well. Kyle, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Trebek was in the news yesterday. Obviously, a tough loss there. So I want to know who led the NFL in PPR points the year he started Jeopardy, 1984.
So his first year as a Jeopardy host was 1984. By the way, rest in peace to a man gone. Just an incredible influence on so many people throughout their lives.
Really, really awful. I mean, just
terrible.
Like, I don't know. A lot of celebrities, you know, they're like, they're people that have fans, and then people like, I don't. Have you ever heard anyone be anti-Alex Trebek? Like, I mean, never. Like among celebrities, just beloved, universally beloved and rightfully so. Just, you know, a testament to somebody who did an amazing job at a high level for an extremely long time. So it was really sad to hear the news about Alex Trebek. So, you know, rest in peace, Alex, and shout out to his fans and friends and family.
I'm afraid of offering an answer because I wonder if I'm like 10 years off when this player played.
Me too.
That was a tough one. I didn't think you guys would get it. I just wanted to get Trebek.
I have a guess. Eric Dickerson.
All right.
Oh, that's probably a better guess than me. Who led the NFL in PPR?
In PPR.
1984.
That's a good one.
One of my 49ers.
Roger Craig.
Ooh, Roger Craig would be a good answer. Like I was leaning
into that.
I was gonna guess Art Monk, but I don't think there's no way that's the right answer.
Is it possible that it's?
But is it? It could it be? I was trying to think of I'm like bad at like who was like good in 1984? That's way too. Marshall Faulk is much after that.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Eddie Murray.
Eddie Murray, okay.
Lions kicker Eddie Murray.
Okay, I'm going with Eric Dickerson. What do you got?
I'm sure you got a lot of respect.
Anybody else? Last chance here, Stefania.
No, I know. That's why I was Roger Craig is about the best I could.
Okay, there you go. Good guess there.
Not cool. Keith guessed Dan Marino before we hear the answer. I'm interested to hear what it's
going to be. Oh, you know what?
Ooh, what about 83?
Mark Duper.
Okay, there you go.
Mark Duper.
Kyle, what's the answer?
The answer is.
James Wilder, 407 rush attempts, 85 catches, over 1,500 rushing yards. Just a big, big season. Didn't think you guys would get it, but just wanted to work Trebek in there.
That's right. Rest in peace to Alex Trebek.
Who did James Wilder play?
Alex Trebek.
Tampa Bay.
In that year.
Tampa Bay. He was with Tampa Bay. Okay.
Good
Matthew's not listening. But
those were the creamsicle years, by the way.
Just not paying attention. Stefania, really quickly going
to
get a word
all
in.
All I wanted to say was Alex Trebek made being smart and made education fun and cool, and that's important.
No doubt about that. Well said, Stefania. Gone too soon, but Amanda Lay left a lasting legacy, that much is for sure. On Tuesday, we are going to recap Monday Night Football. We're going to talk about waiver wire additions and all the latest news, hopefully positive reports on Christian McCaffrey. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I'm Field. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place.
New episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus later today. We'll see you then. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.